I appreciate that. And thank you so much for the cards and all that. Mark left a card, and I've got it there in the pew where I'm at, from him and Stephanie, thanking everybody for the get-together they had when they left, for the money, I started saying cash and prizes that they received. But they're in the midst of their work. I talked to Mark the other day, and about a week ago, and he said, "I've got this one in the hospital and that one in the hospital and this one in the hospital." I said, "Welcome to preaching, pal." And he knew that already. That wasn't a big thing for him. But we appreciate them and appreciate the work they did here. They did a great work. We appreciate both of them, their family. And so we're praying for them that their work will go great. And we know that it will. He's already started in that several weeks ago. And I know that the people there are thrilled to have Mark there. He's a good preacher and a good fella. Don't tell him I said that, though. It'll go to his head. But Mark is a good guy. We're going to be talking about vision today. Vision is a very important thing. Vision is not only seeing what is, but what can be. And that's what we've got to do. We sometimes look at what we have right now, and then we say we can't do this in the future. We can't accomplish this goal. We can't make this goal because we're so tied to where we are right now. Just think about it. What would it be if our founding fathers, the people that worked out this Declaration of Independence and worked out all those things, what if they didn't have vision? We might not even have a country right now called America. But they had vision. They saw not only what was, but they saw what could be. They saw what was there, and they said it can be better, and we can accomplish more. And so we need to try to do that. And they knew what they were trying to do. They knew that they were trying to accomplish, and so they set down goals to be able to do in the future what they knew needed to be done. And you've got to do that. If we don't have goals, if we don't have measurable goals, we're spinning our wheels. We're just spinning our wheels. And so what we've got to do is to understand the importance of not only just having goals, but accomplishing those goals and accomplishing those things that need to be done. Jesus said in the passage, well, in Matthew 9, almost the same passage, said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." There's few people out there. Pray to the Lord for laborers. Now, this is in Matthew, what he read a while ago in John, same thing. But he's saying here, pray to God. But brethren, I'm afraid we misunderstand that. You see, we think what we've got to do is just to pray to God, and that's all we got to do. Let me tell you something. We got to do more than that. Praying is wonderful. Praying is great. But there's a time to pray, and then there's a time to get up and get to work. There's a time to do things that need to be accomplished. We pray for this. We pray for that. Well, I'm not saying we don't need to pray for it, but let me tell you, we need to put some hands behind the prayers. We need to put some work behind the prayers. And if we don't do that, then we're really not showing our faith in God and our faith in ourselves. God wants us to be what we can be. He gave us a work to do. When Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, He gave them a job to do there. Because He knew that it helped them to feel better about themselves if they were working. God knows in the church today that people feel better about themselves if they're involved in the work of the Lord. If they're involved in doing those things that need to be accomplished and things that need to be done. It's very important that they realize that. Now, look at this if you would. We need to understand that in this vision, we can have a vision that's too little. We can have a vision that's too small. That means that we don't see far enough and we don't plan far enough. And I'm persuaded that's where most churches are nowadays. Do you know most churches are getting smaller and smaller and smaller today? And you say, well, all those mega churches, I wouldn't want to go to a church where it had 1,000 people. I don't know why. I want to go to one like that. I want to be a part of one like that because they can accomplish so much. They can do so many things. Now, you can get lost in it if you want to and not do anything, but that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be using ourselves in the kingdom of God. So we've got to have a vision. And if our vision is too small, we're not going to be able to accomplish those things. Now, suppose you had a person and he said, you know, I want a lot of money. I really want to make a lot of money in this life. Well, the problem is, how much is a lot? To have vision, you say, I want this much by this time. You set goals and you accomplish those goals. You accomplish measurable goals that you can look at and you can see, and you can see yourself growing. And we need to do that. Sometimes we see ourselves when we're not accomplishing what we need to accomplish, and that can discourage us. But we need to see what we can be, what we can do, because that's what the Lord wants us to understand. And so here's a fellow that's got a goal. He wants to be rich, but he's got two problems here as I see it. One of them is he doesn't know where he wants to go. A lot of money is a kind of relative term. Where specifically? How much specifically do you want to make? Do you want to make $10? Do you want to make $100? You know, you take a child that's maybe 8 or 10 years old, $100 is a lot of money. You take an adult, and $500 might be a lot of money. But you take some people, and $1 million might be a lot of money. So first of all, you got to figure out what you want. You got to figure out where you want to go to get that. And so you've got to be willing to do that. Now, another thing is you've got to make measurable plans to accomplish that. And you set those things up to where you accomplish this, you accomplish this, you accomplish this, and you accomplish a whole goal. If you look at the whole thing, if you look at everything, suppose we talk about evangelism. You know, we pray, let's evangelize the world. Well, that's great to pray that. But brethren, what are we doing about that? What are our short-term goals and our long-term goals in doing that? Or is it just a prayer that we utter and we just say that? We really don't know what it means. We really don't understand it, but we just say it. That's not what God wants. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak what we're going to do. We need to show that we can do that. And so we set up these measurable goals that we can accomplish. Now, if that fellow doesn't set up goals, he's not going to have a lot of money. He's not going to have any money. Have you ever met somebody that wanted a lot of money, but they didn't want to work? Now, let me tell you something. If you don't work, you're not going to have money. You've got to do that. If you want it, you're going to have to work for it. Some people get jealous of people that have gone out and made a living and made money, and they have money. Well, look at all that that he's got. Yes, and look at the time he had to put in to get it. Look at the work that he had to do. Look at how much he had to stretch himself, how much he had to depend upon what he wanted to do and had to put himself out there to be able to accomplish that. I'm persuaded that if a man wanted to get $1 million, he could get $1 million, but he's got to pay the price for it. Problem is, sometimes we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to be up late at night. We don't want to be working really hard. We just want it to come to us. It doesn't work that way. We've got to be able to get out and use ourselves in the kingdom of God. We want the world evangelized. Well, let's start with our neighbor. Let's start with a friend. Let's start with encouraging people at church. And then let's reach on out farther and farther and farther in that. And I'm persuaded we could do that if we wanted to. We could do it here at Tan if we wanted to. We've got to decide that we want to do it, and then we've got to figure out, okay, how do we do that? What are the goals? Lamar came up to me today. He's working on Vacation Bible School. He said, this is what I want you to do, this, this, and this. He said, will you do it? I couldn't turn him down. He didn't give me an opportunity to turn him down. He said, this is what I want you to do. And don't worry, he's got things for you to do too. And when he comes to you, you say, yes. Have you got anything else I can do? That's what we've got to do to be able to accomplish those things. That's the problem we have in the church. We don't have goals. We don't know where we're going, and we're not sure when we get there. We need to have measurable goals that we can look at, we can see, and we can figure out exactly where we're going to be in 6 months. Exactly what we're going to do. Now you say, well, we might not do it. Well, who cares? At least we're doing something. We're reaching out for it. And that may be as much as God thinks we can handle right then. And so we let God deal with that. But we've got to be willing to use ourselves. You see, God's hands are mine and yours. Now, let's look at this second thing here. What is the problem if we have a vision and it's too little or it's too small? Well, when you think about it, the Lord's work is there to be done. And the Lord's got enough for everybody to do. Nobody is left out. There's not a person in the church that says, God hadn't got something for me to do. Let me tell you something. God's got something for every person to do that's a member of the church. It's not just a few people. We look at, you know, preachers, song leaders, and all that, that they stand up here, and those are the fellas, you know, that really need to be doing. Let me tell you something. If we're not doing it in the pew, it won't make much difference what we do up here. We've got to use ourselves in the kingdom of God. We've got to be, look, and have high goals. Now, why don't we have high goals? Why don't we have goals that are so high that we have to stretch ourselves to reach for those things? Well, it may be it may be like a child who has been maybe abused in their life. They've been mistreated, and they don't feel like they can accomplish anything. They don't see that. You know what? When a preacher stands up and he talks about the home, everybody thinks he's talking about that wonderful, great place. What about a person where they have been abused in the home? What about a person who was raised in a home where there was an alcoholic and there was beatings and there's terror and there's heartache that's there? Sometimes we don't think about those people. And so when they hear home, they think about horror. When we hear home, we may think about love and care. What we've got to do is to get that vision there. We've got to learn some things. And learning things is very hard sometimes. It's very difficult to learn some lessons. And sometimes we don't want to learn those lessons, so what we do is we just stay away from them. We need to learn those lessons. It may be hard, but we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be the people who judge what needs to be accomplished. And we look at that. That's not just for the elders to do. That's a part of their job. But it's a part of my job to find something to do and to grow in it. I mentioned a while ago our men speaking. Several of those fellows said when they were asked first, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. But now it's hard to get them quiet. It's hard to get them to end. They do invitations that are an hour and a half, don't they? And they've got into that thing, and now they like doing it. They like accomplishing that. It gets addictive, and that's what we got to be, is addicted to these things that need to be done. Or maybe it's not just idea of not being able to know what we can do. Maybe we just feel defeated. We just feel like we can't do anything. Let me tell you something. You can do what you want to do. You can do that. Nobody can keep you from it. You can accomplish what you want to accomplish. Now, let me tell you something. For some, it's going to take a lot to do that. It's going to be a hard thing to do. But you can do that. If you're willing to put yourself out there, if you're willing to look at the possibilities of how things can be, if you're willing to see that you can change. What really bothers me today is that we got all these preachers talking, we don't need change agents. We don't need change agents. I understand what they're saying, and I understand that. But let me tell you something. If we're not change agents as Christians, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're to be not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the Word of God. That's Romans 12. We've got to have that. We've got to be people that do change. And we're going to change. I'm going to grow. I'm going to become better. I'm going to accomplish more because I am depending on the Lord and I'm putting myself into it. Let me tell you something. Don't just pray, but do something. Praying without doing anything is a hollow thing. The time of miracles is gone. If we talk about evangelizing the world or teaching other people or helping other people to see the Word of God and we're not willing to put ourselves out there to do something about it, let me tell you something. We're not doing what God wants us to. On some occasions, God sent men to teach other men. Why? Could He not do it? Does He not have the power to accomplish that? Yes. Remember Saul? Remember him? Why did God want him to go teach the Gentile nations? Why did He want those 12 apostles to go out and spread the word to other people? In fact, He told them two by two, you go out into these houses and this is what you're to do. This is what you're to accomplish. This is how you're to do it. And those fellas did it. And you know what happened? It changed a country. It changed the world. It changed everybody about them. That's what their goals, that's what they set to do, was to change those people. We've got to be people that we realize how important it is. You see, we may have things we want to do, but you know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, he was told that there was a great and effectual door open to him. He said, I want to go over here, but he's recognized what God's will was, and he had to go over here to this place. He had to go over and accomplish these things that God wanted to do in another place. God may change what you're trying to do. He may change your direction. He may change what you're, if you'll be willing to listen to him. And I'm not talking about him speaking to you in an audible voice, whispering in your ear. I'm talking about you finding out what the Word of God has to say, and you say, listen, I can do some of this. I can accomplish this. I have the power to do that. I'm going to do it. God's opened this door for me to do it. But God's given me an opportunity. That's the reason that sometimes people come up, like Lamar and others, and I think David's doing the Lord's Supper today. He's going around saying, hey, what about you doing this? What about you doing this? I've even heard of people say, don't put me down. Let me tell you something. Put me down. I don't care. Put me on the list. I mean, I lead singing. Joyce is up here going, no, you won't either. Not while I'm here. Let me tell you something. I can do it. Now, it ain't going to be the best in the world. In fact, it ain't even going to be good. It's going to be terrible. But I can do it. And I'll do it. I went to a congregation one time, and the preacher there said, Charles, you're going to lead and sing. And I said, okay. That was the worst thing you've ever heard in your life. I'm telling you, you could take a cat and rock on his tail, and he wouldn't make as much racket as I did. Now, they didn't ask me to do it twice. That's okay. I did it once. I did it once. And that's not my forte. But I'll do it if I have to. I'll do it. And I want you to feel that way too, that you'll do whatever you need to do, that you'll say, yes, I want this job, I want that job. People say, what can I do? Let me tell you something. Open your eyes. The Lord said the fields are white unto harvest. There's a lot to be accomplished, a lot to be done, and it's there for all of us to do. It's there that we can accomplish that we can do those things. We need to really set those small goals so that we can reach the big goals. Set those little things that we're going to try to do. And I'm not talking about just the congregation here. That needs to be done too. But I'm talking about in our lives. We need to set the goals. Some of you have set a goal to read the Bible in a year. That's great. That's great. One of the great things we can do is read that Bible and think about what we're reading. Think about the passages that are there that can help us to be able to know. And listen, don't be limited by what you don't know. Learn more. Somebody said, oh, I don't know how to do this. Okay, if you don't know how to do it, that's okay. Find out how to do it. And make mistakes. We're all afraid we're going to make a mistake and people are going to see it. Let me tell you something. They already see all the others that we make, so why not something else? What's the big deal in that? Let's show and let those people see that. Let those people know what that is. The problem is that our vision is too general. We need to have specific things that we're going to do, specific things that we're going to accomplish. No dream has ever come to pass without specific goals to reach those specific things. Specifics are necessary. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to have the idea of knowing what we can do and trying to do that. How do we do that, though? Well, first of all, we've got to ask ourselves some questions. And these are questions I want you to ask yourself. I think they're on the board up here, aren't they? Yep, they're there. Okay, listen to this. First question, how do we get the result we desire? We know what we want. Now, let's figure out how to do it. Let's figure out a way to accomplish that. Secondly, what specific, measurable, that's important, actions will move us to our goals? Now, we see what we want. We see those little things. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to accomplish that? We do that already in our mind on a lot of things, but what we've got to do is do it specifically for the Lord's work too. It's got to be done for the church. Then thirdly, How much time, how much effort, how much energy, how much money is it going to take to do that? I don't mean just set a goal out here and you've got a goal to do this or a goal to do that, but you don't know how much it's going to cost. Let me tell you something. You got to sit down and count the cost. You might not be able to do as much as you can do today, but you can do it what you can do with what you have. And you know what? The Lord blesses it. I know people that have set goals and they were able to surpass those goals. I know people that have set goals and they were not able to make those goals. But let me tell you something. You're doing the best you can. You heard about the guy that was shooting the arrow up in the sky. He's going to shoot it up to heaven. A guy said, well, you can't get it, but so far. He said, yeah, but if I don't shoot anything, I don't get anywhere. We gotta shoot for the sky. Shoot for great things that we can do, that we can accomplish. How much is it going to cost us to do that? What's it going to take to do that? Is a very important thing. We need to see and have a vision of what we want. And I'm not just giving this talk so you can go out and make a lot of money. You can do that. There's people, and you've been to maybe some of those seminars where the guy gets up there and he tells you what you can do and how much you can make and all what you can accomplish in this. Well, that's great. That's for the world. This is for the church. This is for you as an individual. This is something that you can do to accomplish God's will. And so you need to do that. And I'm not just telling you. I mean, if you want to make money, hey, you can take this and make a whole lot of money too. But I'm talking about making goals for God. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can accomplish a lot more in our lives. Now, what does our vision really need? Do we really need to have a vision? I'm going to tell you something. It's a simple thing. It's called faith. We talk about it. We act like we have it. But we don't know what it is. I mean, see, people don't, you don't know what your faith is and how strong it is until it's been tested. Faith is tested sometimes when you go to the doctor and he gives you a bad recommendation. He says, you got to have this, you got to have this, you got to do this. Our faith is tested. You go to work tomorrow and your boss comes in and says, hey, listen, we don't need you anymore. Everybody said, well, it's not that bad a thing. Let me tell you something. When he tells you that, it's a bad thing. It's a tough thing to do. It's hard. Some of you farmers, oh, you plant that crop and you put all that money into it, you got it all out, and it comes up just about that high, and then you get a freeze. And it's gone. I don't know if I told you this, but I was talking to a farmer one time, and he was showing me some cotton, I think it was, and the roots were just black. I said, oh, what do you got to do, replant that? Are you going to plow it up? He said, no, you don't plow it up. He said, we may have to replant some of it. But he said, when you got $1 million involved in it, you don't just till it under just any way for anything. And you see, we got to have faith. Read the bulletin article this week. It's got a good thing in there about farmers and faith, really, about farmers and what they have to do. And so we've got away from that and we forgot about that. So we have to have a faith in God. You know, in Matthew 14, verse 31, Peter was going to walk on water. And he got out there. He put his foot out of the boat and he stepped out and he walked a couple of steps. And everybody said, but he fell. How many of you would put your foot outside the boat and step on the water? He didn't get as far as he wanted to, as he needed to, but at least he got started. He had a little faith. Now, when he started going down, what did the Lord tell him? What did he say to him? Y'all tell me. Yeah. Oh, you of what kind? A little faith. You got a little faith. Well, that's our problem maybe. We've got a little faith, but it's not enough to get us involved. It's not enough to change our lives. It's not enough to affect us in such a way that we're going to realize how important it is to do the Lord's work and to accomplish those things. We've got to be willing to use ourselves in the kingdom of God. I wonder, do you think God's saying to us as individuals and the church as a whole, oh, you of little faith. We got to learn to trust in God. I mean, I can talk about it up here and it sounds so wonderful and so great. But let me tell you something. When you do it, it scares you to death. Because you're putting yourself out there. No person who has made themselves as far as a millionaire, making money or whatever, more than that even, no person that has done that has not had to put themselves out there. They've had to put their reputation, they've had to put their house, they've had to put their family, they have had to put everything on the line for it. Let me tell you something. Why don't we understand that in the church? They did it in the church in the first century. Remember over there in Acts when those people heard the gospel and they stayed there in that city and people sold their houses and their land and they gave it to the apostles and they distributed it to the people there that were in need? You're going to sell your land and give it to people? That doesn't sound too sensible, does it? Unless you're a person of faith, and then it sounds reasonable. It sounds like something that we need to do. We can see people in the Bible that had a faith in God. Listen to this. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, David said this to Goliath, the big old giant. Then all this assembly shall know, he's talking to Goliath, know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. He said, I'm a little guy coming out, and I'm going to put you down, big boy. I'm going to take your own sword, and I'm going to cut your own head off. I'm going to do that. But I want you to know God's doing this. And he's not using a great power of man to do it, but God's accomplishing that. When we have faith in God, there is so much more that we can do. And David here was willing to say this, for the battle is the Lord's. It's God's battle. It's his. He will give you unto our hands, or into our hands. He'll give you. Although you're tall and you're big and I'm short and I'm small, it don't make any difference at all. God's involved in this. You may look at some things that you might want to do and you say, I can't do that. Well, that may be true. But you forgot about God. You forgot about God. We've got to trust in God. We've got to know that God's there for us. And brethren, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to preach about it. But we need to do it. You extend yourself more. You use yourself more in the kingdom of God. You go talk to somebody about their soul. You help them to know that you're caring for them and you're concerned about them. You be willing to do that. Now, look at this. Lay aside every sin, everything, every weight that is holding us down. Put those things out of the way and take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. Be willing to do that. Now, in that, I'm saying what we've got to do as a church, we've got to set goals for ourselves. Because if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing. You've got to have a goal that you're reaching for. You've got to sell that goal to everybody. Let everybody know what they can do to reach that. And you get it accomplished. That's what God wants us to do. That's what we've got to be willing to do. We've got to be willing to do that. And, you know, it may be that today, what your goal might be is to get your life straightened out with God. To turn from sin. Too many times we come in here, we hear a sermon, and we don't even think about it. It's just another sermon. It's another invitation. And we've heard them, and we've heard them, we heard them, and we just sat in the pew. Let me tell you something. Don't you do that. Because if you do that, and you know you need to get your life right and you don't do it, you are working with the devil and not with the Lord. You need to work with the Lord. You need to give your life to Him. You need to be willing to say, here, Lord, I'll do this thing for you. I don't care what you do in life. If you don't do for the Lord, it's not worth anything. I don't care what you accomplish in life. If you don't do things for the Lord, to accomplish the things for the Lord, none of it's worth anything.